Elvis Presley.
That jingle was made for Elvis in the 50s, and he was definitely the king of pop culture. And when he returned from the Army and started his movie career in the 60s, nothing changed. Elvis was the king of pop, no doubt about it. All the fan magazines, all the buzz, it was about the king, Elvis Presley. Hi, this is Jerry Pippin, and we continue now with Elvis, the man, his music, and his words, as told by him and his friends.
He said, come on, get on the go. Open your eyes, the sky's full of butterflies. The blossoms on the trees stir up the honeybee. Spring makes my people rise.
Spring fever.
Spring fever. Spring is here at last. Spring fever. My heart's beating fast.
There is no doubt now.
This is Elvis Presley and Shelley Fabre. Shelley and Elvis made three movies together, but Elvis was not happy, not with Shelley necessarily, just the idea of what was happening to his movie career. He wanted to do some meaty things, and he kept getting pablum, as he said. In fact, after this session, he walked out of the recording studio and never returned for 8 months. In the mid-1960s, Elvis was not only unhappy with the scripts, but also the music, the material. And he longed for maybe some of those songs he did back in 1961 and blew away, like this one. I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Wise men say, only fools run. But I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with you? Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be.
Thank you. I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, recorded in November of 1961 by Elvis. Alan Portis was there. He remembers that session well.
That was one of the songs that he recorded it, and no one had any idea that it was going to be that good of a song. Everybody just kind of halfway liked it. Just an average song, and everybody just sat around and just passed it off as just an odd song in the soundtrack.
Falling in love with
Elvis might have been unhappy with the material in the movies, but Elvis the movie star was making money. It was a cash cow. Elvis, however, never really changed. He took care of the guys who hung around him, the Memphis Mafia, as they were called. But they were soon to get a new name. They'd be called Elves Angels. That's right, Elves as in Elvis Angels. Here's Alan Fortas to tell you the story of why.
We were sitting around the house one day, and Elvis had always been a fanatic on motorcycles and had always ridden them. And he had a motorcycle in California. So I kept telling him, I said, you know, it sure would be nice if we'd all go motorcycle riding. And I said, you know, I'd like to have one. He said, no. He said, I'm not going to buy no motorcycles. So finally I kept on and on and on and kidding him about it. So finally one day he called me and he said, hey, come here for a minute. I said, all right. He said, why don't you call the Triumph dealer here and find out how much a Triumph Bonneville motorcycle will cost? I said, all right. So I came back. I thought what happened, he'd probably buy one, and the boys could alternate riding it. I said, Elvis, I said, I just talked to him, and they told me a Triumph motorcycle delivery would be right at $1,300. He said, all right, that's not too bad. Call him back and see how much, I think it was two or three of them will be. I said, all right. I called him back. I told him. He said, I won't discount them. I said, well, it's hard for them to discount them because they come in from England and they're hard to get. He said, I'll tell you what you do. I said, all right. He said, you call the guy back and tell him you want 12 of the motorcycles delivered up here in an hour. So I called the guy back and he said, hey, is this some kind of a nut? I said, no, let me explain this position. I said, this is Alan Fortas. I work for Elvis Presley. I said, I know you think I'm crazy. I said, but Mr. Presley wants to purchase some motorcycles. He wants to buy 12 of them. How long will it take to get them serviced and up here at his house? I said, you can verify it. If you want to send someone up to check, make sure, I don't blame you, that's fine. I told him where we left. He said, no, I for some reason, I believe you. He said, this is crazy enough to believe you. I said, all right, now, let me ask him. So we worked out an agreement on it. And I said, now, he wants 12 of them delivered up here, and how long will it take? He said, well, he said, you know, they come in unassembled. They're in the crates. But I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll stop my whole shop and put every man I have on it. He said, I'll be up there in an hour with him. About an hour and 10 minutes, those motorcycles were at the house. In about an hour and 15 minutes, we were out riding. When he came up to the house, he said, how do you want them titled? Elvis looked at him. He said, I want one titled in every person's name that works.
In the early 60s, touch football was a big deal. The Kennedy brothers had made it a big deal at the White House, lots of media attention. And out in Hollywood, Elvis, he had his own version of touch football. Listen to Dean Torrance of Jan and Dean fame talk about the Elvis Presley football
rules.
Their
rules were they won, his team. They could do some amazing things. It was always possible for them to run out into the street or around a tree, but when the other team did it, that's not legal.
Elvis and his team, mostly members of the Memphis Mafia, like to challenge other rock and roll singers. Rick Nelson remembers one of those football game invitations from Elvis.
I got a phone call from Red West, who is one of Elvis's buddies, and he said, you know, we hear you playing football and everything. We'd like to, you know, challenge you. And I said, well, okay, you know, we just run around, but I'd like to play, sure. So I called up some guys that I knew, and we drove over this one Saturday, and I remember driving by and seeing all these guys. And it was like a pro football game, jerseys. You know, here we show up in T-shirts, and I thought, oh, God, you know, I don't want to go through all this. You know, we just play for fun, you know. And they're out there warming up, doing the whole number. All of a sudden, you know, guys are flying through the air, and it's supposedly a touch football game, you know. And all these other guys were used to playing tackle. They don't really play touch that I played with, you know. So all they had to do was hit them a couple of times. And then they, you know, they don't know how to go like halfway, you know. And oh my God, it was terrible. I mean, they were just bodies flying all over the place, you know. The result was we really massacred him, you know. He did. It was great.
So Elvis's movie years were filled with riding motorcycles with the Memphis Mafia, playing touch football with other entertainers and bands. Or was it touch? Well, maybe it was tackle. It was pretty tough sometimes. And then on Saturday nights, there was always that party at Elvis's place. Always 20 to 25 women would show up and by invitation, and there'd be about that many boys, maybe not quite as many. And one of the things that was always a feature attraction was the chimpanzee. That's right, Elvis had a pet chimpanzee. And a little trivia. We tried to find out what happened to that chimpanzee. We just don't know. Maybe someone can tell us. Anyway, Elvis, in the 60s, definitely was living a life of fame and fortune.
But when I hold you in my arms, that's heaven to me. Who cares for fame and fortune? They're only passing flames. But the touch of your lips on mine make me feel like a king. Your kind of love is a treasure I hold. It's so much greater than silver or gold. I know that I have nothing if you should go away. But to know that you love me brings fame and fortune my way. But to know that you love me brings fame and fortune my way.
MGM presents Elvis Presley.
Who wants to buy a heart?
Oh, yeah. Starring in It Happened at the World's Fair. Hurry, hurry, see the attraction of the century, the Seattle World's Fair, and Elvis Presley in action in Romance at the Space Needle, on the monorail, in the air. Elvis,
this would be Elvis's 12th movie and one of his most successful. It was just too much of a combination. The crowds were everywhere. First of all, because it was the World's Fair with the famous Space Needle and all the rides. But then the King of Rock and Roll was there every day making a movie, walking through the crowds. Alan Fortas remembers.
I would say the wildest crowd we ever had to face was probably at the World's Fair in Seattle when he did the movie. It happened at the World's Fair. They would give us a call to be on the set at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're supposed to be on the set at 9. Well, we had to go through the World's Fair to get the location. It would take us an hour to go half a block. And that's with like 25 policemen and all of Elvis's personal staff around him. It would take us that long.
Elvis liked Hollywood and California, but no place was home except Graceland. 23 rooms. It even had a barber shop next to Elvis's bedroom. Elvis usually stayed up all night, but he would sometimes come down to the gate and tell everybody hello. Graceland had thousands, literally, showing up by the hour, especially in the summertime. And Graceland, even today, is still a great tourist spot. It's put Memphis on the map.
Give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find the party trying to get in touch with me. She could not leave a number, but I know who placed the call. Marco took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Help me, information, get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who would phone me here from Memphis, Tennessee. Her home is on the south side, high up on a ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi Bridge. More than that I cannot add, only that I miss her and all the fun we had. But we were pulled apart because her mom did not agree and tore apart our happy home in Memphis, Tennessee. More than that I cannot add, only that I miss her and all the fun we had. But we were pulled apart because her mom did not agree, tore apart our happy home in Memphis, Tennessee. Last time I saw Marie, she was waving me goodbye, with hurry home drops on her cheeks that trickled from her eye. Marie is only 6 years old, information please, try to put me through to her in Memphis, Tennessee.